Happy to welcome our next guest from ESPN. It's Mike Golic Jr. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I feel a little left out. I'm not going to lie. I'm the one person in this conversation who did not play a varsity sport for Notre Dame, so I can step aside if you two just want to, you know, catch up and sing the fight song and what your best memories of being a part of the Fighting Irish.
I was wondering why the leprechaun outfit that is underneath my clothes at all times started peeking out, so it makes sense. It's like the spider sense that starts tingling whenever we're near.
Yeah, the only difference is we were there at a little bit different time, and I was there with both his uncles and his dad, so a little bit of a gap there, and he was there just overlapping with my daughters.
Oh, wow. God help you if you were there with my uncles and dad then. I always say what I say to everyone I find out who's there around that time. I'm sorry, and I hope they didn't throw up on you anywhere.
It was a very different time, Mike, a very different time.
Yeah,
well, that's what it sounds like. The 5 points sound like they were a good time.
Yeah, well, and you could say it's a very different time in 2020 for obvious reasons, but the big news this afternoon, the Big Ten, the show must go on in a way. Their plan is to play in the fall, play a conference-only schedule. I've heard you a little bit on ESPN radio. I'm going to assume that you're not surprised at this, but give us your take on college football continuing to play despite what's going on in America.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, we see what draws all this stuff. It's the money and all of it. Once the Ivies made their decision, it became a lot clearer, a league where the revenue brought in by football isn't used to buoy the entire athletic department in a way that makes them really dependent on it. And so once they decided, all right, this is not worth the risk, we're going to move this maybe to the spring, but at the very least delay it through the fall, we saw this fall for what it clearly is. And so now you're going to see the rest of these schools start to give every inch they can along the way, whether that's playing conference-only schedules or whatever this starts to look like, pushing the season back, ultimately to preserve this gigantic cash cow that keeps the entire industry afloat in all this one. So I'm not surprised that college football is continuing to try and push forward in whatever form it looks like. I just think we're still a long way from whatever the final form is going to be.
Mike, it's really hard for people to fathom the impact that football has on their own institutions and how much they support all of the other sports that go on, and up to 36 or 37 sports played male and female at a lot of the big universities. But a statement that did really surprise me, Tay, was Stanford, who you always viewed as one of the wealthiest schools by far, announcing that they were dropping 11 Division I varsity sports.
Yeah, and so the Stanford issue is interesting here, certainly telling. I think a lot of other schools took notice, because you're right. I think you're talking about a $23-plus billion endowment, which also is a reminder, endowments are a little more complicated than we all think of. It's not just a treasure trove of cash that the university can tap into at any time in all this. And with Stanford, this is them getting out ahead of it. Yes, they do have one of the larger Division I groups of varsity sports on their campus. They've been supporting more sports for a while, and even before COVID-19 kicked in, were losing money on a lot of these in a way that was probably going to force them to make a move like this sooner or later. They were punching a bit above their weight class, and that's the thing for me that's more telling of where we're all going, is if Stanford, one of the schools that we probably look at as more responsible, a better balance of academics and athletics, has also overextended themselves athletically, that who's to say that a lot of these institutions that are much more identified for their athletic prowess haven't been doing the same, and maybe an even worse clip. The cash reserves on hand for a lot of state universities aren't up to the percentage that they're supposed to be in a lot of these situations in their budget. And so you're going to see a lot of people have to make uncomfortable decisions in this, because the entire world of athletics got drunk on power, kept betting on growth in the future, and never stopped to think that maybe this was getting too big and too unwieldy. No one could have predicted this, but at the same time, these are the situations and the risks you're open to when you live too large and too hard the way college sports have for a while now.
Mike Golic from ESPN joining us on Overdrive. So it looks like the power conferences will at least attempt a season and attempt to begin it in the fall. The NFL is trying to do the same thing. What is your confidence level like that both of these football leagues will be able to finish these seasons?
Very, very low, and I'm glad you chose the word finish, because start, people keep asking that one. I'm like, it's easy to start all this stuff. Like, they got enough money and resources on a lot of these levels to start all of it. The big-time Power 5 schools are going to have the kind of money needed to test all of their, especially the football team, players on a close enough and frequent enough basis to be effective. The NFL certainly has that kind of money and a lot less bodies to do it with. But the finish is, again, like all of this, predicated on things outside of their control. You can only do so much in building up the framework of the house that is football, the foundation of it, with testing, with all these things in place, the protocols, trying to make sure that the players understand their responsibility and all this. But again, because football is a sport that can't exist in a bubble, you are beholden to the outside world. And what we've seen, especially in the United States and this country, is the outside world and our society has not responded in a way that seems like an environment that's going to be ready to foster this anytime soon. You look at the Bundesliga, you look at the English Premier League, you look at all these places that have been able to have success so far in the early going, bringing team sports back, and you see surrounding countries that have done their job and what they've been asked to do to try and eradicate this virus. And so that's the one thing, is I have faith in these leagues to get together and use their resources the right way. I just don't have faith in any of us.
Mike, and through all this and all the tough talk about financials and what's going to start and when, all of a sudden we're, you know, welcomed last week with an enormous signing, the largest signing in any team sport, to a young superstar with 2 years left. I think the timing caught everybody surprised. The magnitude caught everybody surprised, because no one was making any sort of financial decisions of any scope in any business. And to do this with Patrick Mahomes certainly caught a lot of people off guard last week.
Yeah, it did. This is one that, by all the public things that we had heard, sounded like it was still a year away. But it's a reminder, too, when you look at the reaction in the middle of a global pandemic, when so many people are obviously on hard times and it's a difficult financial situation for a lot, I heard almost no one complain about what we heard there. This is that obvious of a choice. We all expected Patrick Mahomes, being the best at the premier position in North American sports, to get paid accordingly in all this. Now, it was still surprising because it's 10 years in the NFL, which never happens, and it's all these different guarantee mechanisms that we had never heard of before. But at the end of the day, the best guy got paid like it, and that's the world, the meritocracy in sports that so many people want to believe is the case for everyone. And it's not by any stretch. It's position-dependent. It's timing-dependent. But every once in a while, you get the best guy that lands in an organization that is a healthy organization, one that values the player, one that has a good relationship with them and understands what they have at that position and doesn't want to play games with them. When it happens, it's a beautiful thing, because seeing young people get handed a life-changing sum of money for doing right, and by all accounts, Patrick Mahomes is a guy that does right in every sense of the word. I think we all can't help but smile, and hell do we need that right now.
So since we're talking about a lot of money here, and you're right, like, the money will drive these leagues to either try to restart or start a season in the case of the NFL and college football. When you look at the NBA, though, and not to say that the money's not a factor there, it obviously is, but is it almost as important for the players to show their power and their leadership and have LeBron James leading that charge and others like him?
I think you can say something for the effect of having sports back, having the prominent names we're used to. Certainly someone like LeBron, who's leveraged his platform in a way that few athletes in history have or will, and has inspired so many others to try and emulate that. But, you know, I think Sean Doolittle for the Nationals said sports is a reward for a functioning society. And so there's part of me that worries that these leagues that come back and maybe have success indicate to others that it's okay to exhale a little bit and relax. And while we see, you know, the death rates are certainly falling, hospitalizations hopefully can fall with that, there's still a rise in the number of cases, and there's a lot of risk that's associated with that. And so I hesitate for anything to allow people to put their foot and take their foot off the gas too much, but there's also the mental side of this, and I think that lift of having something familiar like that back around in some of those names might balance out the scale and can maybe justify, you know, any moral qualms I might have about that.
Mike, you're doing an awesome job at ESPN. Congratulations on the recent promotion. I know your father has been such a big role model to you, and he's obviously etched out an incredible career following another pretty good career on the gridiron. I actually do have a question about your uncle, though. And I'm 36, so one of the shows I grew up watching was Saved by the Bell. Did you grow up watching your uncle, and was that not the coolest thing ever?
So I actually kind of missed that generation timing-wise when it was a thing. And so I knew about it, and I saw some of the episodes, and obviously his name was Mike on the show, which was funny because that's my father's name. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine the confusion that that causes. But this is God's honest truth. My Uncle Bob played, I think, about 14 years in the NFL. My dad played 9. Both of them were college captains at Notre Dame. Both enjoyed those long, fruitful careers in the NFL. My dad obviously has put a 20-year radio career on top of that. And still, every time someone sees my last name in public for the first time, they ask if my uncle is that guy on the college years. It is remarkable. It is always the thing that people go to first. So it is the power of popular culture reminding us that sports might not be the be-all, end-all.
Well, and we're showing a picture on TSN4. There's your uncle with AC Slater and Screech. So
he's looking good.
I'm sure, with all the helmets that he has in his house and trophies, he's got a picture like that up on the mantle. But Mike, again, love your work on ESPN. It does get played here on TSN 1050 a lot. We appreciate you coming on the show, and all the best as you continue on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
There's Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio, former star of Notre Dame, just like my co-host today is a former star of Notre Dame.